What a privilege to be here. So I'd just like to share with you some of my own experiences today of my work at the University of Reading during my PhD and how I incepted, developed and ran my own citizen science survey running for the past 3 years now. I'll start off with just a slight overview of my organism of study, the powdery mildews. These are fungi, and so I've been watching very keenly this morning to see as and when the fungi appear, and as such a diverse clade of species, I think they're really underrepresented, and this is something which in the future I really hope to champion and bring to the surface. Then later on, speak about my citizen science survey in particular, and later try and also talk about other similar schemes from all over the world which are also doing a great job at championing fungi. So the powdery mildew are really a truly diverse group of fungal plant pathogens. Here you see them on various different host plants, of which many are garden favourites. Each one of these will often be very specific to a certain host plant, and so they cause great damage and are a real issue for horticulturalists around the UK as well as around the world. And they will also commonly infect important agricultural plants such as grasses and fruits and vegetables as well. So it's a real issue. And specific species of the powdery mildew will infect and kill just certain different host plants. So this is an issue of identification of the different powdery mildew species. They're found within the single most species group of fungi, the ascomycetes, which are characterized by this cup-like structure. And so far, they've been classified and reclassified into around 900 different species. I'm funded partially by the Royal Horticultural Society, and so for a long time, they've been interested in all these different pests and diseases which are common in garden plants. And year after year, the powdery mildews are found within the top 10 of the most inquired about diseases. So during this time when I was running the Citizen Science Survey, the RHS would often siphon off to me the most interesting samples they were receiving. So why would I, during my PhD, begin one of these citizen science surveys? Well, initially, I think it's a great way to spread the knowledge of your own research and to infuse members of the public, ordinary people who would otherwise have no idea about this ever so common thing which occurs every day in their garden. It was also a great way to save my own time and my own funds, as by passing off this more generalist task, I could collect samples spatially and temporally widely distributed across the UK. So how was this all done? Well, initially, it was launched via a blog. And this was done year after year, up to 2016, telling my growing number of followers that the scheme was back in service and I was ready to receive samples. It was then promoted by an array of different online and printed media, such as Twitter, in a physical credit card-sized flyer, and at various flower shows and specialist meetings where we would try and offer horticultural advice and gardening information at the same time while I was trying to champion my own scheme and trying to get people infused about powdery mildews or fungi or various different plant pathogens and to send me their samples from their everyday commutes or gardens at home. I also managed to piggyback on various different societies and get my media out there through mycological, horticultural, plant pathological and botanical societies. And eventually I bumped into the right people along the way, and we managed to develop a scheme whereby GCSE students in schools would be able to use this as an activity in their classroom to go out and have some real hands-on interaction with some organisms which regularly they would not be interested in or have any interaction with at all. And so this is a real sign that this can be done by generalists, by people with no previous information about it. But the issue here comes that this scheme through Science and Plants for Schools has only begun within the last year, and so I'm still receiving samples today, even though my PhD is now finished and I no longer have the means to continue to analyse each one of these samples. So this is a real issue of a lack of funding, and the fact that the Royal Horticultural Society were content to leave the scheme after a few years. So, when receiving samples by post, I would then proceed to analyse each sample under the microscope and via molecular techniques. Here you can see the breakdown from year to year of samples received, and the low number in 2016 would be because we had potentially reached a saturation point whereby many of the regularly contributed samples were no longer so interesting to the samples. So as I mentioned before, this is a real issue of identification of species. With around 900 different powdery mildew species, and about 200 of them found here in the UK, they're very easy to identify on the surface of a leaf as a powdery white substance, but then to actually identify the species is a much harder task. Fortunately, there's a lot of literature on this, and any educated botanist or mycologists with the aid of this literature can easily get into it and follow various keys. And with the use of microscopes, they can see these various very beautiful forms, and each one of these, say the appendages shown in the red, with red arrows here, each one of these different forms can point us in the direction of a particular species identification. However, these particular forms require that specialist knowledge and specialist equipment as well, such as a high resolution microscope. And even when identifying the different forms, it still often leaves many ambiguities as to exactly which of the hundreds of different species you are dealing with. As mentioned previously, DNA is going a long way to solving this problem. And part of this project was to develop new primers which would manage to sequence a region of the genome of each individual powdery mildew species, and to discover a particular region which would vary enough to tell the difference between each different powdery mildew species time after time. As in the past, the region used, called the internal transcribed spacer, often is the same from very closely related species. So the result of this was a UK-wide distribution of samples contributed to the scheme, and a real improvement of the number or the percentage of different powdery mildew samples identified to a species level. You'll see here, using previously developed techniques, just 80% of all the samples contributed were able to be identified. But using the newly developed particular region of the genome, which I managed to discover and sequence time after time since, 98% of the different species have been able to be identified. All of these records were then contributed to various different databases, including the NBN and British Mycological Society's distribution data, as well as the sequence data going to the NCBI GenBank. And amongst all of these records, we managed to find particular new records to the UK, such as this, the first report of one particular powdery mildew species on Heuchera. In this instance, the morphological features of the Heuchera, of the powdery mildew on the Heuchera, and the sequence data from the ITS region was what managed to determine this as a particular species of powdery mildew and not a closely related one. So, other citizen science surveys which seem to be making a big impact in the plant pathological world are really this one. It's called Cape Citizen Science, and it seems to really manage to engage a great community of different people from all around South Africa, bringing them in on various different give-it-a-go days and getting people from all walks of life to contribute their samples and even involve themselves in the later analytical work of these samples. So to conclude, I would say that specialist clades such as the powdery mildew, for these clades, there are numerous experts out there, but it's just an issue of building up this knowledge and spreading it. And citizen science is certainly a way that we can initially spread the knowledge. It's a great task as well for non-specialists to share out the workload of the specialists, to contribute samples from various different ways, and this can save us all time and money. In my project in particular, I managed to develop this new method of identification for this very particular group of powdery mildews. And this is something which could be spread out across many more different clades of fungi. All in all, the data generated from this will go into these databases which we currently have and help future identifications. This will significantly increase the ability of various different practitioners to identify particular powdery mildew species and therefore develop greater disease prevention programs and develop more resistant varieties of plants, all in all saving us money in the long term. Now, for the future of fungal surveys, currently at Kew they've been running the Lost and Found Fungi Project, and this is something which I'll be lucky enough to involve myself in the near future. This is a scheme which really just aims to increase the awareness and increase the recording levels of fungi from around the UK, and thereby see which species are common and which ones are far more rare. The rare ones needing perhaps particular inputs for conservation strategies and red listing. So I'd like to thank you all very much for listening, and I'd be happy to chat or take any of your questions during lunch. Thank you.